This session is from the 2024 Shepherd's 360 Church Leaders Conference. For more information, please visit shepherds360.org.
All right. Why don't we start with how many here are hearing me for the first time in your life? Let me see your hand. Okay, there are a lot of new folks. Okay, so I'll take just a moment and give you just a little introduction. I'm an attorney and old Duke Law grad back from 31 years ago. And my ministry is the National Center for Life and Liberty. So if you want to ever contact us, reach out. Just remember NCLL.org. NCAA, College Sports World, NCLL, Life and Liberty. Okay. And we work with churches all over America to put a little kind of local flavor. I have the honor, and there's other lawyers that are involved, and there's lawyers in the church. There's a lot of good help at this ministry. But I have the honor of serving as the general counsel to Shepherd's Church. I also do that for the seminary. Also serve on their board and help Dr. Davey with his Wisdom International media ministry. So, you know, there's multiple outreaches, his radio and worldwide internet outreach. And so do that here, and I'm certainly honored to do it, but also work with a number of churches across the nation. And our ministry is designed to kind of, we call them partners. We partner with local churches because we want to help you succeed. So that's kind of the model. And people join with the NCLL and say, yes, we need the legal help. We want you to be our attorneys. And they support us for $100 a month or $1,000 a year. And then we're your unlimited legal support. So that's kind of the ministry. If you are here today and you go, hey, I could really use that, or we could use that, we're working on some things, you can go to the website at ncll.org. Now, today, the topic is kind of an interesting one because we're dealing with the whole online world, technical presence, all of the different liabilities. And I want to, we use the term, you know, avoiding the landmines. Now, that's kind of a big thought, right? You see in wartime, people plant landmines. They're very dangerous, indiscriminate tools. You're just walking along, and if one's been buried, boy, you step on it or touch it, and there's a massive explosion that could be fatal or severely catastrophic. And that illustration actually kind of hits with how powerful the online world can be with regard to a ministry. I'm going to go back 31 years ago, and as an attorney, I would kind of get asked two questions. Okay, question one, is it legal? And by the way, that's a good question to ask an attorney, right? We want to drive buses around and pick up kids. Is that legal? We want to give guns to our security guys. Is that legal? We want to start a school. Is that legal? You know, I mean, what's the law? What can we do? What are our options? What does the law say is allowed? But then number two, a second question that I would get asked that is, you know, a good question, but maybe a little outside of just law, is it effective? I heard another church is doing this. Have they had good success? Hey, what is Dr. Davey doing that helped his church in this area? How do other churches handle this? And that's good, right? You're understanding what's legal, but then also what's practical, what's working, what's impacting, what's having success. And it can be varied. How many understand churches are like people? They're all a little different, okay? What you do in Cary, North Carolina that succeeds wonderfully may not work in Charlotte. May not work in Rockingham, may not work in more rural or different part, or may not work in California, because again, different people, different cultures. And so, you know, what is effective? Is it legal? Is it effective? And that was kind of probably for the first 20 years of my 30 plus years of practicing law, that was heavily the questions. That's what people wanted to know. But now all of a sudden, we have entered into a new world. And how many understand it's not necessarily the law that could take out a church, and it's not even churches not being effective with how they do things, but how many figured out the optics, the image, the visual, the perception can literally wipe out a church? And so pastors understand it's legal, we have free speech, And it may be practical to get messaging out, but now there's this massive thought, what are the optics? How will this be perceived? How will we be viewed? Because way quicker than a lawsuit, or way quicker than your own ineptitude, if you don't know what you're doing, the optics online can wipe out a ministry. You can go from successful to literally wiped out overnight. All of a sudden, the online world wakes up and they start attacking and criticizing. All of a sudden, the people in your church don't want to be part of your church because the reputation, the testimony of the ministry can literally get destroyed. And so this is where you got to kind of think through the online world is a wonderful opportunity of ministry, but it's also high risk. And it's become even more high risk since COVID. How many understand there are always big churches, take a Shepherd's Church, they'd have some streaming or some online stuff just because they had more people, more money, they could do some stuff. But how many figured out COVID pushed everybody into the online world? And it changed a lot of things. I mean, I'll use as an attorney. I used to have to get on a plane. I used to have to fly somewhere, get off the plane, travel, go to a courthouse, and I might have a 15-minute hearing. I know that's not very efficient, right? You traveled, you flew, you did all this, but that was what you had to do. And then the judge might be running late, so you'd sit around for an hour, and then you go do your 15-minute hearing, and you only had 10 minutes. And then whatever happens, happens. Now you turn around and you got to go retrace your steps or figure out where you got to go next. And you could literally spend a day or two doing a 15-minute hearing. How many figured out Zoom, the video technology, has changed the world? Now all of a sudden, and by the way, clients, and I do our ministry differently, but clients that are in business paying an attorney by the hour, how many believe it's pretty inefficient to spend all that money on a 15-minute hearing? Because the lawyer's going to charge all this time, and all this travel, all this expense, and some client goes, is that really worth thousands of dollars for that little 15-minute, not much, and didn't really impact our case? Well, now all of a sudden, the judges are like, if it's under an hour and there's no evidence, it's all on Zoom. And it's a Zoom we control. So Mr. Gibbs, you sit in your office, and when we want you, we pop you in. And you'll get your 15 minutes, the other side will be there too, and we'll do our hearing. But if it's at 14 minutes and 59 seconds, it looks like this is gonna go on for a while, oh, we'll reschedule later, and we just move on. And the courts have taken very much control. I've had afternoons where I sit in my office and I've been in 8 different state court hearings and never left the office. How many believe it's a little different world out there right now? And so, churches have been sucked into this new online video universe at all deeper levels, but I don't think they fully comprehend the liabilities or the issues or what could face them. So I really want to talk about maybe 2 facets to it for you to think about as you think about your plan and your program. Number 1 is stewardship, and I'll explain this, but are we managing the online world to even know what we have? And then the second one is liability. While we may have control of our, what I'll call digital assets, we don't have good policies or procedures in place to make sure that we're not getting ourselves in trouble. So let's start with the stewardship side, and let me use a simple analogy. Can a teenager come into your church and write a church check? And you'd be like, what? You gotta be 80 years old to write a check around here. I mean, we want saints that are vetted and tested, and we want 2 or 3 signatures, and that's the Lord's money. We gotta make sure those bank accounts are locked down nice and tight. Can some guy in his 20s come stick a mortgage on your church property? You'd be like, no, we're crazy. I mean, this is the church, it's the Lord's. We have a banknote, that's ours, or if it's debt-free, that's what we want. And we protect the assets of the church. And I would say with real estate, we do pretty good. And with financial matters, money, we do fairly well. But now I have a question. How are you managing your digital assets? And how many understand that's a little different world? What are our digital assets? do you even know what they are? So maybe let me give you one little thought as a church or ministry. Let's start with number one. Could we make a list of what we have as digital assets? Okay, so let's start with some basics. Do you have a website? Well, yeah, we do. Who owns the website? Well, I think we do. May I caution you? A lot of the early websites got set up by people and they own them. And the guy that set it up has control of your, they call it URL, which is your identity. And not to give you like a boring little website 101, but basically think of the internet as this massive mail system. And it's all digital numbers, but you can get certain names. So like Shepherds, once probably shepherds.org or shepherds.seminary, whatever the different names are, they want to protect that. So when people go to that, the digital system routes to the websites here of the ministry. But now the question is, who is actually owning or controlling those websites? Because that person will have some connections. Number one, they have ownership, but number two, they also have an email, which is where the information will go. So now all of a sudden I get this call about once a week. A church goes, our website got stolen. Well, what happened? Well, one day it was us. Then another day it was somebody else. And sometimes it's kind of bad stuff. I mean, sometimes it can be pornographic or very anti-God, not nice. People have snatched the website. And they're willing to give it back to us if we pay them a lot of money. Well, here's where you need to realize, okay, that digital asset was not being protected. So let's just start with your basics. Do you have control of your presence? Who actually owns your website? You say, well, there's a guy, he set it up, he was a good guy, he's still in the church, but he left. Well, what email are the renewals going to? And so this is why it's kind of a stewardship right now. You've got control of that website somehow, okay? And the two magic things that you always want to hang on to are the emails and the passwords, because that's what gives you the access to change or address the website. So give you one that happens often. Guy runs your website, and it could be staff or it could be a volunteer, and they get mad. How many have ever had somebody get mad in your church? And they leave. And they do one of two things. They become your enemy. So now all of a sudden your website is now attacking your church. Or they go dark. They just go, well, we own it. It's ours. We got control of it. We're just not going to do anything with it. And they disappear. And now your church's website just, boom, it goes into a dormant state. And you say, does that happen? It happens a lot. I'll go into like a bigger, and this is public, so I'm not sharing anything confidential. Years ago, Pensacola Christian College wasn't sure they wanted to promote online. That's the earlier days of the internet. Again, it's become more pervasive, but in the early days, but they had a website. So they kind of half promoted it, but they weren't really heavily invested in it. Well, lo and behold, because it was a low priority, and this is a big organization, staff, people, guess what happened? They let their URL, their address, expire. Yep. And you know who picked it up? Some former students. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to say that these were not haters, okay? But they were humorous. So they enjoyed a run, okay? They had lots of fun. So it wasn't, you know, anti-God, anti-Bible, but it was, we're certainly going to make fun of these professors, we're going to use satire. So they were definitely getting under the college's skin. And the worst part was it was a website that they had somewhat promoted. So people that were looking to learn about Pensacola Christian College were going to this other website. Well, at that time, administration said, we're going to sue, we're going to fight, we're going to, and guess what? The little college kids were just like, we just bought it. It's just a, you know, an investment. And long story short, they won every step of the way. Okay. Because Pensacola had an asset. They let it go back in the free market. Somebody else picked it up. And what they ended up doing, which probably was smart, although painful, I'm sure, for the administration, is they wrote a pretty nice check to these former students who then donated it to charities of their choice. And it kind of worked its way out. but they had to buy it back. Now, I'm saying that lightheartedly. It can happen to anybody. But the bottom line is you want to find out where is our church's website. And I doubt some of the leaders in this room, certainly senior pastors, that may not be just right on the top of your mind. But who has the password? Who has the email? Now, if it's all going to you, okay, let's just say you're the guy. You're the senior pastor. Everything's revolving around you. Well, think about setting up some degree of institutional continuity, okay? So maybe the time has now come to go get an email address that is, you know, ourchurch@gmail.com. So everything's going into one spot and it's not all commingled into your personal, it's not all commingled into your wife's, and it's not. So think about a digital asset, very similar to a bank account, right? It would not be a good thing for all the pastor's money to be mixed in with all the church money. It's commingled, right? It's not clean. And the pastor leaves whose money is what, and it's messy. So think about your digital assets the same way. Do we have control through the passwords? Do we have control through the emails? And then also things like Facebook groups. Okay, this one comes in often. Somebody in the church starts a group. All right, let me just time out right there. You probably gave permission for them to start the group. Because they said, preacher, I'll start a Facebook group for all the church members. That's kind of cool, right? Because we get to communicate, we approach the church a little bit. But they set it up where they own it all. The group is their group. And you're like, well, this person just got mad and left. And matter of fact, they're at another church. And they're using our Facebook group that has 100 of our people in there. And they keep sending them stuff, telling them that my sermons aren't even biblical. And they get very, very fired up. And they want Facebook to do something. And by the way, let me give you a little word of warning. Facebook will do nothing. Matter of fact, Facebook doesn't even have a phone.
Correct.
I mean, if you want to call Facebook, try. You cannot. It's all emails and digital, and they ignore you. And they're as good as anybody at just ignoring complaints. Okay? They are going to deal with the owner. The owner is the person that has the password and the email. Now, if you set it up like person X in the church says, I want to start this Facebook group. Okay, well, before we do that, before we put our church's name on it, before we put our identity on it, we need to make sure that we have control of this for the church into the future. Now, good people should go, oh, yeah, that's what we should do, preacher. Let's set it up that right way. Then that group stays with the ministry, not with the individual. So I'm just sort of letting you know, what digital assets do you have and how well are they being managed? Now, I'm going to go a little further. Things like pictures and videos and things that you've put up online and you might have even had permission to use. Okay, you actually bought a license, you bought a photo, you did some things, you hired a group to design your website and you kind of get handed this stuff. Are you maintaining files that if you're ever challenged about you use this song, you use this music, you use this photo, that you have documentation? So having a list of what you have, how we're managing the emails, how we're handling the passwords, and then what authorities do we have? So if you have all this, wonderful. Most churches don't. Most churches treat digital stuff kind of like, it's there, and yeah, we kind of deal with it, and it happens, but they're not managing it in a stewardship way. But then let's talk about liabilities. So one is, do we have control of our stuff? The second is now, what can this stuff do to get us in trouble? And let's begin with one thing that I think is important in all public speaking, all communication, and you know it, it's rule number one. Know your audience, okay? And I would encourage you as churches and ministry leaders to really think through what is it that we're trying to accomplish with this online presencing world, social media, whatever we're trying to do. Because it's a tricky world and it's changing dramatically. You've probably heard some chatter, it was more last year, but a little bit this year, about AI and how it's kind of changing the universe. How many figured out quickly about half of what will be on social media and the internet won't even be real? I mean, so we're going to have a day where you're going to be like 50%, you know, it used to be save a memory in your heart or your mind, but if you really want to remember it, take a picture. How many understand now pictures can be made up? I mean, there's pictures of Trump and Biden fishing together, having a good time, right? That's not true. It's all AI generated, made up. And so we are going to have a world that is going to be constantly changing. And churches kind of wade into this world with a ill-thought-out plan. Here's kind of the typical church. Got to get on social media, TikTok. That's where the kids are. We got to be cool. And if we go on there, people are just going to come to us. Okay. They have no plan. They have no real objective. They don't understand the audience. And then, as we all know in the online world, content is king. They have no plan on how to feed this thing. So the number of churches just sort of launch and die in this world is a lot of them. And that's not good stewardship, but it's also just not helpful. So as you think about your ministry presence online or through social media, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? And then how are you going to feed it? I might suggest that less is more. That just throwing everything out there, you know, every sermon our pastor's preached for the last 10 years is online. How many understand that can be a little overwhelming, right? If you're a new guy looking around and trying to find things, I mean, it's like, wow, what is all this? So think about your plan. Maybe what you want to do is say, okay, we have a little 5-minute video that introduces our church, almost like an infomercial. Here's a tour of our building. Here's what we got. Maybe you have a little 3-minute video on how to be born again. Here's a little salvation. We preach this. This is the gospel. Maybe you have last week's sermon for people that missed it. And maybe you have a greatest hits. This is one that you go like, man, that was a good sermon. You know, if they were all that good, man, people would be flocking around here. So, I mean, it's kind of like your best, right? And you got those four options. And they change. Obviously, last week's sermon comes down. This week's sermon goes up. And that's working on a plan where things are changing. But you're not leaving all this information out there that can potentially haunt you. So let me give you a concept. You own your sermons. They have no right to use them without your permission unless you post them online and just give them away for free. So if local media or haters or people who want to say you plagiarize all of your messages, you know, it's kind of like the old preacher that says, you know, I'll be a better preacher when Swindoll's a better preacher, right? He just copies everything. Okay, well, if that's going to be your issue, why are you putting all that up there just to create grief for yourself? After your mother and three friends have listened to your message, how many understand it's not having a lot of impact? And so just leaving it out there forever is not helpful. So I encourage churches, when you think about the plan, what are we really trying to do? All right, well, we want shut-ins to be able to see it. Okay, we'll put up last week's or this week's, you know, put that up. We want to get the gospel out. We'll give them a little sermon. We want people to know about our church. Well, great. Give them a little tour of the church. We want them to hear our preacher. We'll put one of his better messages up there. And when you start down the list, that's really what you're trying to do. But what you put out is this abundance of information that a lot of times is not accomplishing your goals and can actually hurt yourself. Now, let's talk about other things that you put up that create some liability. Pictures, videos, music that you don't have license or permission to use. There is internet trolls, that's all I can call them, okay? They live off of charities, nonprofits, churches, and they throw stuff out there that you all kind of like. And what I mean by that is they have very attractive couples, like daddy, mommy, kids. You're like, oh, wow, man, I want to go to that church. Okay. Or the hungry guy with the soup can in his hand at Thanksgiving. That's going to be a fun one. Like, this guy looks really hungry, but he's even kind of a handsome homeless guy. I mean, they kind of, like, they get things created and art airbrushed. And, I mean, you're like, wow, that's really good. And they float them on these websites that kind of make them look like they're free, but they make them real easy for you to use. And all of a sudden you plug them in. And they then have AI generated bots that will go searching for their licensed images And you will get a letter from a lawyer. I see a couple of these a week. Here's what it reads like. Dear Church, it appears that you have illegally profited from our licensed material on your website. Here's the photos. Here's the issues. We will file in federal court in, it's always an inconvenient place, Atlanta, New York, Dallas, someplace like that. You know, like, we're not near there. But, and we're going to file this court in federal court. Please immediately retain an attorney, as we will be seeking the maximum copyright damages of, and they'll put big numbers in there, $300,000-$400,000 for the violation, plus attorney's fees. And, you know, we're willing right now to settle for $35,000 in the next 7 days. But if you choose not to settle with us for $35,000, we will show you what we've done to this other guy. And there's always some guy that got slaughtered. Okay, he was the guy that just fought, bless God, and all of a sudden they got a $500,000 or $800,000 verdict. And it was all awarded against this poor guy. And we don't know if he ever paid it or if he just went bankrupt, but it's scary looking, right? So you're like, oh man, we can't, I mean, $800,000 wipe us out. $30,000, that's a mess, that's a ton of money. And then you call me, what do we do? Well, number one, take down the picture, right? We're gonna stop violating. Obviously, we ended up with something we shouldn't have had up there. And then number two, we're gonna negotiate. And a lot of times we can get them down to $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and the church learns a valuable lesson and it's over and done, okay? And you say, well, that's just a racket. It is. Those are slimy lawyers. I agree. Those are internet trolls. Yes, they're disgusting. Yes. And we keep getting sucked into it over and over again. So what I'm letting you know, that when in doubt, don't. Okay, if you don't know whether you've got the right to this really attractive couple and this picture or whatever, don't use it. You say, well, how do I know if I have the copyright for sure? Take the picture yourself. It's your picture. Okay, but when you start pulling stuff off of other sources that ultimately they say you didn't have the right to do, and they try to make it look tricky, you know, royalty free, but that still doesn't mean you had permission. It just means you got to get permission, but there's maybe not a fee. You know, there's games to all of this, or the actors in the photo don't get paid, but the photographer, they game it. They use tricky language to make people think, oh, I can use this, it's free. And they put them up and then they go after them. And you say, wow. I mean, there's a law firm that is sending out about 1,000 of those a day. And you say, do they all settle for $3,000 to $5,000? Yeah, and those that don't, they take to court and they can end up with more. Yeah, you see the imagery and what's out there. And I'm just telling you, it's a racket. Okay, and they find a way to gin all this up. So what I'm telling you is your website, remember, know your audience. In here, you all make a mistake. You say, you know, here's Disney on our materials. I'll be like, oh, you're not supposed to use Disney. Okay, wrong, they're gonna be mad. But if it's just in here, we can clean it up, throw it away, be done, right? You put it on your website, I'm gonna understand Disney fights for those mouse ears. They're very aggressive. So I'm letting you know, it's not just the trolls, but it can be, you know, we're gonna do a theme, you know, we're gonna do a princess theme. Okay, well you can do that, but you can't use the Disney princesses because they've got a lot of money tied up and all that. So you gotta kind of look at, do you have permission to use what you're putting up there? Now, individuals, you can disseminate private information that you don't mean to. So coming back to what is your plan, I would give you the thought that you don't put your entire service online. Just give you the thought, food for thought, you can think about it. Should prayer requests be online? Probably not. Should missionaries that might be in troubling countries be online? Probably not. Should some of what pastor says up there, like, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to tell you how to vote, but I'm telling you how I'm voting, and he just says it, okay. That's maybe not 100% the right way to do it, but does that all need to be online? So a thought might be when you go to open the Bible and you're gonna teach, and then when you close in prayer or start an invitation, you end it, and that's what you put online. A couple other thoughts. Music generally doesn't sound very good over the internet. unless you invest very heavily in almost broadcast level quality, it diminishes. So like if you have a really robust choir that sounds really good, then you put them online, they get tinny, they get kind of, and so it may not be accomplishing what you're hoping to do. You say, well, we're just doing that for our folks. Well, don't open it up to the World Wide Web. Lock it down. Have a little, you got to have a login and a password, and this is a closed group, and this is just for these 10 people. So all I'm sharing with you is think about your goals, think about your content, then do you have permission for what you're putting up there, and are you avoiding publicly disseminating otherwise private information? Let's also talk about ministry reputation. You know, you can quickly online end up in a swirl, okay? So in today's world, not only do you need to manage your own assets, but you need to manage what's being said about you, okay? So just give you, you know, kind of a little monthly task. I know it's no fun. Google your church and see what the reviews are. Do a Yelp on your church. Do some type of background looking at your church in the community. And you're like, well, man, there's this guy, and he came once, and he's a God hater, and he's a liberal, and he's mentally off, and he's got all sorts of issues. But he's got on all these websites and said, our church is a bunch of crackpot cult. You know, this is awful, Mr. Gibbs. We got to sue this guy and shut him down. Well, let me give you a couple of things. Number one, the internet service providers will let his stuff stay up. They have no liability. Number two, if we find the guy and can actually go after him, and it's opinion, he's got free speech to say bad things about you. Okay. Now, if it's totally untrue, okay, so I'm going to use an example here, and this is hypothetical. Paul here, I can say, in my opinion, Paul isn't very, and then you're pretty loose, right? But if I say Paul went to prison for beating small puppies, okay, that's a factual statement. And if Paul goes, that's not true, you can generally get those down after a lot of fight, okay? So most churches aren't dealing with the fact, you know, if they say pastor went to prison, pastor got convicted, he's on a registered sex offender. I mean, they put some things that are very heinous, but they're factual. If you can prove that's not true, you can get those taken down. That doesn't stop the damage of it going out. But what's killing us are the opinions. Well, this church just feels like, you know, one of those churches that doesn't protect children. Well, what is that? It's an opinion, right? And it's negative. And all of a sudden it starts saying things that you don't want it to say that's hurting your church. So you say, well, Mr. Gibbs, what do we do to fix that? The only way to meaningfully manage that is to keep throwing more good on top of it. And so what I would suggest, here's an idea. You got a Sunday school class, you got a Wednesday night group, you got a small group, whatever. So, okay, everybody, got a problem. Somebody went online, said some bad stuff about our church. It's showing up on the first page, it's showing up early. I need everybody here to do something to help our church. I want you to get your phone out right now. I want you to Google our church. Okay, pop it right up. And I'm gonna show you where this bad statement is. See it right there, it's awful. Okay, but we're gonna add a bunch of reviews. So I want, right there where it says review, I want everybody right now to review our church. I want you to give an honest review, but I would like for you to say nice things because this is our testimony. This is our salt. This is our light. This is what people are going to see about us. So if there's things you like about our church, things you enjoy, maybe the kids program, maybe senior adults, try to make it as personal as you can. Let's take the next 5 minutes. Give our church some nice reviews so we can bump this negativity from a non-member down and show people what our church is really like. Completely legal. Completely fine. And what do? You start throwing more good on top and the other one disappears or gets buried, you know, and all of a sudden your church might not be a 5.0 if that's the scale, but you'll be a 4.8, a 4.9, and people that do random Googles of your church aren't going to see the one crackpot. So think about it. It's kind of like painting your building, right? If your building has got paint that's falling down and looks dilapidated, you may have the godliest church in the whole world, but people drive by and go, that church looks like a dump. Okay, think about your online presence. Does it need some painting? Do we need to clean it up a little bit? Do we need to spruce it up a little bit? Then you can also respond to some of the negative. Now be careful. don't go crazy responding, but you could put a comment in that, you know, just to be clear, our church takes the safety of children as a priority. We have child protection policies in place, and we want to assure that we're committed to, if a child's safe anywhere, they're safe at church. You know, just put a nice little comment in. If somebody's making innuendos or saying things, you know, you can put a little something in, but don't start bantering with them. How many understand if you're not careful, you can lift a negative person and put them on your platform? How many understand we have one of our candidates for president that's very good at that? Donald Trump gets mad at people that nobody's ever heard of, right? And what does he do? He criticizes them. And all of a sudden, these little know-nothing liberals that didn't have any platform, because he put it on his former president, current presidential candidate platform, this person sails to the top of the news. They're all of a sudden on TV and on the internet. They sell record numbers of their books. And he's trying to crush them. His idea is, I'm going to squash them like a bug. The problem is, he lifts them up to his platform. And all of a sudden, even though he's saying bad things about them, there's still a lot more people that never heard of these people. They're like, oh, I'd like to see what that guy said or that gal. And so be careful as pastors and ministry leaders. You know, you don't want that one dissident in your church to all of a sudden sit on the platform next to you. You know, if you walk to the pulpit and go, oh man, you're just not going to believe how there's a guy in this church. Let me tell you what he just said. Well, all you're doing is you're lifting that guy up to your level. Be careful how you guard your platforms. But in that vein, you can sometimes say something. And then if it's a friendly, and when I say friendly, you know, an old guy that put something online that, you know, is like, I'm so glad this church still draws the line. You know, gays are still sodomites, and God blew them up in the Old Testament. Maybe he'll do it again. Okay. Well, and you go like, he's a nice old guy, but that's a little... You know, that's maybe not the image we're looking for. We'd rather not have the bombing or the turning into salt, or that's maybe just not the warmth we're trying to project. Well, if you put something up there, you can always, if he's a friendly, go talk to him. Hey, could you edit that? Could we help you edit it? And so, and they can always go in, they can remove a review, they can edit a review. That's always tied. That's a friendly. An unfriendly, you're kind of stuck either responding or trying to go over the top. But just keep that in mind. You're not stuck with, you know, goofy comments even from your people. So you can always manage that. Let me give you one more just to think about. And this one's maybe a little broader than just your online presencing. But what is your digital communication strategy as a church as it comes to children's ministry and counseling? And let me just sort of throw out there, you don't want to have your children's workers, your youth workers, communicating with other people's children one-on-one electronically, and you don't want to be counseling over electronic communication. Now, let me explain the whys, okay? I'm for technology, I'm for efficiency, I'm not trying to scare you, but let me say something. If Grace here, she and I have a conversation, and a year later, somebody's going to be like, what did you two talk about? She's going to remember a little bit, but she's going to be like, well, Mr. Gitch was nice. He answered my questions. I don't really remember a whole lot more. And that's all she's going to remember from a year ago conversation. How many understand if she has a text from me that she doesn't like, or she feels like I didn't say something nicely or didn't answer it correctly, how many understand she's going to keep that forever? And you've created a record that never goes away. So in your communication, somebody says, you know, I'm doing some marriage counseling and the wife is all upset and she wants me to text her. How many understand, first of all, she's getting too emotionally dependent on you. Second of all, you're nickel-diming the advice. You don't really know what's going on. You're like, oh, that's awful. I can't believe he did that. That's terrible. She might be lying, but you're sitting there buying into it. That's kind of dramatic, brother. I like that. That's kind of like a, you know. That's no 80s rock. That's classic. I mean, that's good. I'll play it. But anyway, so now all of a sudden you're communicating with her. You're not giving good advice because you don't know the whole story. Then the husband sees your text with her. He gets mad, like you're taking her side. You're being too friendly with my wife. And you're not doing anything inappropriate. I'm just saying, you're getting yourself in a vicious digital cycle. Okay, even with my friends, if Steve and Davey called me or text me and says, hey, David, I got this legal issue. We need to deal with this. I'm going to say, let's schedule a time to talk. Because in a 10 to 15 minute conversation, first of all, we can eliminate a lot of back and forth. I mean, understand teenage. Well, when you say that, did you mean this? Or what about, you know, it starts like your thumbs get tired. But then also you give better advice. Okay. You get the whole story. You get the whole background. I mean, I'm having an issue with one of my staff members. Okay. Well, one of my first questions, if I'm talking to him on the phone, is who is it? Because if it's somebody I've never heard of and he's working on the janitorial staff, that may be a different ministry issue than it's the CFO who manages all the money and all the elders love him. Okay. Because your advice may vary a little bit depending on who you're working with, the perspective, what happened, what does he know, what doesn't he know. And so your world's better to get that in communication than you give better counsel and advice. And I would encourage you in your ministry to, you know, put people off a little bit and make them come talk to you. An upset parent. My kid at your school keeps getting F's and, well, your kid's not very smart. Help him do the homework better. That may be true, right? But how many understand that text is going to tick her off? Okay. But if you de-escalate with a, well, why don't we schedule a time with the teacher? Why don't we schedule a time with the administrator? And we'll see if we can work on this together. Now, can I give you a little thing? More often than not, they are too lazy to go schedule a meeting. They want to grab you with these little quick, you know, grab you moments. But they're not really going to schedule and come sit down with you, which means it's not that important to them. And so just thinking through your counseling and then child protection, child safety. Let me just hit on this. The number one way that predators groom or seduce children is through electronic communication. And I would encourage you to take more of the public school model, which is we do not allow our staff, our volunteers, to communicate with other people's children electronically. Now, couple of concepts here. If it's your own kids, that's your family. If it's your nephew, that's family. If it's a different dynamic, we're not trying to get into people or kids you know. So like, well, I sent my niece a happy birthday. That's your family, okay? But when you're talking about other people's children, I would encourage the two worker rule, which is if I'm gonna communicate with this kid, I'm gonna add somebody. So if you're the youth pastor and you say, hey, everybody, pizza at 7, and we're all going to meet at the church, look forward to seeing everybody there, and it goes out, massive group, that's fine. If one kid texts you and goes, I don't remember what time the thing is, text him back, but copy his mother, copy your wife, copy the pastor. Avoid one-on-one conversations with other people's children. That will protect you dramatically, and I will also say, it's the number one way that bad actors, and I hope nobody in your church is ever a bad actor, but how many understand there are people that are looking for the opportunity to seduce or groom kids? And so when you say we have a no texting policy, the kids understand, the staff understand, the volunteers understand, and you help protect yourself a little bit. So thinking through electronic communication, it's not just the official church website, but then what do we allow our other people to communicate electronically? And you want to be careful. The youth department is where this becomes real prevalent because you want to be cool, you want to be hip, you want to be on the apps the kids are on. I might suggest that's a risky world for you to enter into. And it can also just, it creates that slippery slope. I will say this. I think there are some people that do bad things with kids that didn't really mean to. I'm not defending heinous sin, please hear me. But it's kind of almost like hunting, like they're looking around, they're just wondering, they just start and it's an emotion, it's kind of a progressive where they kind of start into it and then all of a sudden the kid responds, the kid doesn't say anything. And then the kid lifts their ego and then all of a sudden they want to communicate again and the emotional moves to more of a deeper emotional. Then all of a sudden it's finding time to isolate, then it moves into more physical, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you've done horrible things, And I think if you set up right up front, here's our mom and dad, we don't want your daughter texting our people. They're not allowed to text her. Please don't have her text them. This is, we operate out of child safety, child protection. If you need something, you're always welcome to reach out. We're open to you as the adult, but avoiding that culture of lots of electronic communication. If I were to say that the youth pastor in your church texted this one underage girl 400 times last month. That's all I say. Now, you don't know what the texts are. They could be love your parents. They could be read your Bible. They could be do more for Jesus. But how many agree 400? And you say, well, that's a lot. Well, yes and no. They go fast. Yeah, how you doing? What's up? I'm good. You know, I mean, all of a sudden you did 10 or 15 and they just kind of pop along. Now you start doing a couple times a week and all of a sudden 400 in a month. And how many understand you're immediately suspicious of that person? And if this guy's really honorable, he's not going to want that suspicion on him either. He's just trying to do his ministry. And if he's not honorable, you don't want him doing that anyway because he's putting the girls at risk. So when you start thinking about these policies, remember they kind of hit in three areas. You're protecting the kids. That's huge. You're protecting the workers. That's important. They're your volunteers and your staff. And you're protecting the church from unwanted liability. So that's kind of an overview on this topic. Let's open the floor to questions. I think we've got 10 minutes before we are done. It's wide open, open forum, anything you want to hit. Go ahead, Paul.
When you talk about applying to comment somebody made, do you use a church email or identity, or do you use a personal one or a third one?
Well, that's a good question. All right, so let's start with, it might depend on what the comment is, okay? So if the comment is, the pastor's too political in the pulpit, okay? Well, you probably don't want the church responding back on politics and pulpit. So that might be something you want to do individually and say, well, sir, you disagree with me. I do still have my free speech rights to speak. And I'm very concerned about our nation, but I appreciate your input. You know, you're just something that, but that may be better from you than from the church. If it's, this church is run badly, maybe the chairman of the board is the one to respond. And again, don't respond to everything. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I say to people, wait it out a little bit. This one church called me, they were all worked up. There's a documentary and it's out there and it's saying bad things about churches and we got mentioned. I said, okay. I've done documentaries, not created them, but participated, and I've learned something. Being in a documentary does not mean anybody's ever watched it. Okay, I'm just letting you know, okay. I've participated, I think I did a mighty fine job, and I'm not sure my mother and three friends ever saw it. Okay, I'm just telling you, it never went anywhere, all right? So that's okay. I mean, we live in a world where lots of media now can almost end up in the trash can of inattention, okay? And there are some things that explode, you know, like there was a video on the, I guess it was the Duggars for a while that was popular, and different things can be a problem. And I'm not saying there aren't times where you go like, oh man, we don't look good. Okay. But I'm just saying, be careful that you don't overreact to every little comment. You know, one parent posted, your Christian school charges too much. Okay. Well, don't freak out. I mean, your tuition rates are online. People can see what it costs. There's vouchers. You know, don't overreact. You got to be careful that you're not too sensitive. But on the other hand, what you're trying to do is, again, think about the painting the building. We don't need to have the best building in the world. We just don't want to look like a dump. And if you're not careful, your online presence can make your church look different than the image you really want to project. Yes, sir?
In the world of ownership, so thinking about this, like putting sermons, owning your media, pictures, yep. All those things. So like Sermon Audio is creating their own server farms. They can host their own media. But then like a lot of churches will use a G Suite for their email database. Do you see concern for the future where churches are using Wix as a website hosting or G Suite as like their church domain for email addresses, that the secular world is going to pull these things back from the church?
I do.
Is there a Christian company that might be a counterpart of, you know, like your organization is for legal assistance, is there a Christian tech company that might be like, hey, we'll do email suites for organizations, and we're a nonprofit, we're a Christian faith-based organization, that we're not interested in policing things like Google might be?
I'm going to tell you, the answer to your question is yes, there are some that exist. I can't tell you that I know the who, the what, the wherefore. Okay. Let me tell you one of the problems with all software design. Okay. They're all money driven. And I don't mean that ugly. It's a get rich quick scheme. I mean, everybody looks at, man, look what, you know, Facebook did. These kids started this in their college garage or Microsoft or, you know, and now they're some of the richest people in the world. Elon Musk, it was PayPal and different names. You can, you know, and even Amazon, which sells things, still it's the website and the drive and the digital books. And so people are always looking at, man, if I could get the next big idea, I could be the next gazillionaire. So I do see some people that I think are truly ministry motivated. But most tech companies are money motivated. Okay. They want customers, they want constituents, they want affinities, and they want to make a buck. So, you know, there is an element where will companies gravitate towards the Christian community as a block of business? And I think the answer is yes. But I will tell you, there is going to be increasing discrimination, even among companies that are willing to take, let's say, churches. Somebody says, Dr. Stephen Davey, he's dignified, he's well-spoken, he's not bombastic, we don't always agree with him, but we'll let him ride, because he's okay over here for now. But this other guy, I mean, he's a hair raiser, he's a country boy, he says it, you know, he's shucking corn at a different level, and we're not into that. I mean, we don't want this guy to have our... And so I think you're going to see more almost like one at a time. They're not going to go straight out. Everybody that mentions Jesus is off the platform, because that would create a business opportunity for somebody else and create an issue. But I think you're going to be seeing more and more, are we comfortable with the tone? Is this individual someone that we feel like they're not going to embarrass us or our platform? And then you're also going to see more and more of the left throwing their weight around. So somebody that is a VC, venture capital, and they put in hundreds of millions potentially into some of these companies, and all of a sudden they go like, yeah, we're funding you, but we don't like it that you're helping those guys, and we're going to pull your funding. How many understand those companies are going to dump us like a hot potato? They're going to be like, done. Okay, it's over. We got to keep the funding coming. So there's a lot of players at mix. So are there some Christian companies? Yes. What I tell churches is be careful that you're not overly dependent on any one platform suite. You know, Facebook Live works pretty well, pretty cool. Facebook could turn around and go, no more, and we're not letting you do it. Okay, yes, sir.
Two things. Data protection policy across countries, across on the web. I'm from Kenya.
Yes.
I have friends and partners here. We have data protection policies of images used without permission. If someone came from America to visit me, posted something on their page, someone in Kenya saw it, and then they say they went and visited Thomas and G&T and look at what they're doing, and they took pictures of kids, and they took pictures of whatever from some community, and someone wants to make money off me, off that picture. How do I protect myself even when you communicate to the different ones? Be careful, don't post this, ABCD. What happens there? But secondly, when someone damages you mentioned something about someone posting something about the church online. Can you bring that down on your site? For example, if they put on the church website or the church Facebook page, could the church bring it down?
Maybe.
What someone else has put.
Well, it depends on where it is. Okay, so if you have comments on your website and you don't like some comments, you have full editorial privilege. Or if you're the moderator of a Facebook group and somebody gets on there and says, you know, all these bad things, you can take their comments down or remove them. Now, there's what I call social media
perception.
Well, rules, so to speak, you know, you're supposed to allow open door course and you're supposed to let them do it. And, you know, so there's pressure on you not to censor negative comments. But if it's something you control, I say, take them down.
Okay.
Why let bad stuff up? But the problem is Google, you don't control. General third-party websites you don't control. Now, like you mentioned, your country, I mean, there's a lot of scammers online.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that create fraud from Africa back to the U.S. And let me even go a little further. The digital world with AI is allowing scammers to be able to do stuff they never thought they could do. So let me give you an example. They can take your voice, and they can take the name of your pet, and they can have a teenage girl call the grandmother. And literally, it's the granddaughter saying, my car broke down, I was coming from college, I got Fluffy with me. I mean, and grandma's like, well, what do you need, honey? Well, can you wire? I just need to, you know, there's this Western Union here. If you can send me $2,000, I'll pay you back. No, no, no. And I mean, grandma sends the money to her granddaughter, and that's all on server farms in international parts of the world.
Happened here to a member of the church.
Okay.
About 2 months ago.
You know the dynamic.
I know her personally. She lost a lot.
Yeah. And she was not a foolish, I don't know the lady, but I mean, she thought she was.
It was her granddaughter's voice, and her granddaughter used her name that she calls her as her grandmother.
And see,
she wanted $16,000, and the lady sent her $8,000.
I only have $8,000, she said, and they took $8,000.
Oh, sure they did. Okay, so I'm letting you know this AI-generated world is going to change the online. I mean, they're predicting half of what's going to be on the internet won't even be true. It's going to be AI-generated. And by the way, let me go further. It's not all going to be for the gospel. I'll tell you who's sucking up this technology like you wouldn't believe are the perverted pornographic. I mean, they don't need to have actors anymore. They can literally create all the bizarrity they can invent, not pay anybody to do it, no disease, no issues, all computer generated, and sell it to people the way they want it. And I mean, it's going to be bizarre what the world is going to turn into. So what I'm telling you, back to protecting your name, identity, image, we're in uncharted territory. They're going to take your name and your identity and have you do a fundraiser for a liberal group. And then they're going to say, well, it's a parody. It's a joke. You're like, wait a minute. That's me. You can't use Thomas. That's me. You can't use my name. You're. And so we're going to see cutting edge litigation around the world. That's why this whole AI revolution is yet to be fully played out. And so I will tell you this. And by the way, how many of you like me are glad God gave us a book, not a video? Because videos are going to be deemed as manipulatable things. And this is going to sound wild, whether it's the companies or whether it's people don't believe it anymore or people tune it out as useless entertainment. How many believe we're probably going to have to go a little old school with some of our ministry? Like one-on-one actually talking to people. Like, hey, let's sit down and have a coffee and see where you're at. And again, I'm not advocating that you abandon all technology, but I'm just saying it's changing so bizarrely. And then I'll add one more thing. TikTok and all of the social media for kids, all the scientists, psychologists and others are coming out saying very harmful for the children. Now, we kind of knew that, okay? But is social media going to become the new smoking? And by the way, I know some preachers, and I like them. I get along with them. They're flat addicted. They can hardly eat a meal without posting it. And they talk about, you know, I'm being transparent, I'm being open, I'm living life with my people, you know. Okay. But, I mean, do they really care what you ate? You know what I mean? Yeah, and I mean, there is a point at which, you know, I will go so far, you can be so transparent you're artificial. You know, you don't generally go online and see some guy going, I just had a big fight with my wife. I hope we make it. You know, that's generally not there, right? It's, we just had a 20-year, we're on the beach, we're all beautiful. And then you find out he's in jail on domestic charges and they're getting divorced, right? So there's a lot of artificiality to what is projected. Question in the back. Yes, sir.
Not so much a question. Somebody made a point earlier, or made the statement earlier about responding to somebody online. I'm just thinking with Facebook, to set up a church account, you have to have a personal account to do that. And so always make sure which account you're logged into when you're responding.
Yes.
The last thing you want to do is think you're responding personally.
And you're doing it as a church.
And you're doing it as a church.
No, that's excellent. And then the other thing with Facebook, again, you can lock the group. I mean, you know, you can have a moderator that says you can't join this group unless you answer these five questions. And then we vet you, and then we decide whether you're in or out. So, like, if you say, you know, people that own Chevrolets, you know, they'll say, do you own a Chevrolet? You like Chevrolet? Yeah, we'll let you. Okay, you know, they have a little way. But you can limit. So don't feel like you have to open up your whole computer world to everybody that comes on. But, again, back to the plan. And maybe encouraging you, and I'm not trying to discourage you, but maybe less is more. Amen. What can we manage? What can we feed content to? And what's helping our ministry? And when you start asking those questions, the youth pastor doing something silly on TikTok may or may not fit into those categories. And putting everything out there just wide open for everybody to see may not fit in those categories. Now, again, depends on the nature of your ministry. If you're pastoring 10,000 people and you got worldwide media, there's a different dynamic. I get it. But most churches are trying. I think they live with the hope that if I throw it out there, it might just catch. It's the viral. I just want to go viral. Okay, in today's world, that is not going to happen. You don't have what's going to go viral. Sadly, what goes viral is bizarre, extreme, over the top. Some of you maybe have heard of Mr. Beast. Got kicked out of a Christian school in Eastern North Carolina. Grew up in a little conservative, independent Baptist background. But he does big, extreme things. I'm going to find a homeless guy and give him $1 million. Now, I'll be real honest. I'd kind of like to see what happens. I mean, yeah, like, oh, the homeless guy's getting $1 million. Wonder what he's going to do. Is he going to say thank you? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, so, I mean, but it's big. It's extreme. It's out there. Your church isn't in the business of generating that. Okay? And so what I'm saying is just be careful that you really think through on the plan. And then when you do put your plan in place, look for areas where you have potential liability or weakness. We got time for one more question. Who wants to be grand finale? Yes, sir.
Have you had any dealings with Shutterstock paid accounts that they brought litigation? I'm not thinking of an example. I'm just thinking of how it's worded. And I had my own Shutterstock account and was using it for various things. And just curious whether you've had any.
I'm going to say, not me personally, but I would warn you a little bit. Like, if it's Shutterstock, you can have personal accounts that you can't put on, quote, commercial accounts.
Right.
So if you have the ability to use a picture for your screensaver, that doesn't mean it can be on your church's website. So making sure that the use for which you're getting permission is appropriate to what you're doing. Same thing with CCLI, the music people. A lot of you get CCLI. Okay, that gives you the permission to sing it in church. That doesn't give you permission to broadcast it. It doesn't give you permission to record it and sell it. It doesn't give you permission to leave it up there indefinitely. So that's partly why sometimes I say, is the music worth it? Or are you just getting more headache than blessing? How many say, Attorney Gibbs, I learned at least one thing today? Let me see your hand. How many are glad you learned it here, not at the courthouse, right? So, again, we are available to you. If you have questions or issues, need copies of policies, ncll.org. I hope you enjoy the rest of your conference, and I want to keep us on track because I know there's more workshops. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We had a guy in Rock.
Thanks for listening to this session from the 2024 Shepherd's 360 Church Leaders Conference. This material is copyrighted and may not be altered or sold. For information, please visit shepherds360.org.